It's time once again for our monthly conversation with UNC Health Pardee. Today we have Dr. Koen Klaus with us. He's a colorectal surgeon with UNC Health Pardee. Dr. Klaus, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Well, thank you for having me and for spreading awareness.
Yes, sir. Colon cancer. It's nice to have you back here, and that's what we want to talk about because it is colorectal cancer awareness month. Not the easiest thing to say, but something we need to all deal with, something we need to all learn about, and we need to have on the forefront of our minds. Many people still think of colon cancer as something that only affects older adults, but you're starting to see it a lot more in younger adults now, right?
Yeah, it certainly doesn't only affect older adults, although still cancer is more common in older individuals.
Sure.
But if you look at the trend over the last couple of decades with increased screening efforts for older adults, meaning 50 years and older, which not everybody realized that's considered old.
Right.
The colon cancer cases.
Yeah, that hurts a little bit.
Yeah. But those cases have been decreasing, probably as a result partially of that. But unfortunately, there is a similar trend in younger folks under the age of 50, where we actually have seen an increase in cases of colon and rectal cancer.
So can we dial that in a little bit? There apparently is some new research as looking into why we're seeing more colon cancer in younger adults. One of those studies points to a certain bacteria in the gut that can affect the DNA. Can you talk to us on simple terms about that? What is that exactly?
Yeah, so, well, first of all, you know, the very concern, when we see a concerning trend, and I would like to say in addition to the increase in cases, it is now also the deadliest cancer for young individuals.
Really?
And so when we see something like that happen in the medical community, we start looking at why would that be the case?
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of research is going on. And initially, we kind of tend to use a shotgun approach.
Right.
And so, yes, there is a study that in Nature that looked at certain mutations in a lot of colorectal cancers that they've gathered all around the world, actually.
Wow.
This is in countries like Brazil and Poland and you name it. And they looked at certain patterns in these mutations. In comic books, mutations are usually associated with superpowers.
Right,
but
right.
In real life, it's usually medical diseases and in this case, cancer. And they identified a certain set of mutations that they have associated with a toxin produced by bacteria.
Okay.
There's no immediate direct causality that they can, you know, definitively give us. But there is some indication that this may be a hopeful way in the future potentially to, you know, for example, check younger patients for exposure to that strain or that toxin for that matter.
Sure.
And potentially, for example, do more targeted screening.
Wow. Interesting. So speaking of that, another study is supposedly linked high consumption of ultra-processed foods to a higher risk of early colorectal growths. How much is diet a factor in all this?
Yeah, so it's probably a big factor.
Sure.
So going back to the first study with the bacteria and the toxins, you imagine your colon or intestinal tract as sort of a garden, you know, that you're the gardener.
Uh-huh.
Similar to skincare and, you know, brushing your teeth and flossing every
day.
Wow.
Okay.
You want to take care of your colon pretty much in a similar way.
Mm-hmm.
And what you feed that garden, you know, is going to result in changes in what type of bacteria live in your gut and how, and you know, we are seeing now that affects, you know, your risk for certain cancers, including colon cancer.
Wow.
And so this particular study that you're mentioning is a study that was interestingly performed on a very specific group of people, namely nurses.
Huh.
So this was a large group of women that are all nurses, and there's a very, you know, detailed data set on those individuals, including whatever they've been eating. And what type of diseases they developed over the course of the years. And they didn't necessarily look at cancer, but they looked at precancerous lesions. So okay. they all got their colonoscopy at a certain age. And they found that the nurses that were consuming more ultra-processed foods. By the way, do you know some ultra-processed foods?
No, I don't.
Well, you know, that's another thing is sometimes people are not aware of what ultra-processed
right.
foods are.
Right.
But, you know, it includes, a simple rule is if you look at the product and look at the list of ingredients,
uh-huh.
if it's more than five ingredients, it's probably ultra-processed.
Uh-huh.
But, sugary cereals like with dyes and colors, processed meats like deli meats,
mm-hmm.
Bacon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But a big one is sodas, like
sure.
Energy drinks and any sort of sugary soda drinks. So very commonly consumed.
Okay.
So it's very easy to do. I wouldn't blame anyone for, drinking or eating ultra-processed foods. It just happens. It's
right.
part of our Western diet. But it turned out that those nurses that were consuming more ultra-processed foods also had a higher risk of having a precancerous lesion when they had their first colonoscopy.
Hmm. We want to remind folks we're speaking with Dr. Koen Klaus. He is a colorectal surgeon with UNC Health Pardee as we're talking about Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. You mentioned nurses. Is colorectal cancer, does it lean towards men or towards women, or does it not discern? You understand what I'm asking?
Yeah.
Do you find it more in men or less?
Yeah, it's not very. There's no huge difference.
Okay.
But when you look at large population-based studies, it does tend to, lean slightly towards men.
Okay.
But overall, it's pretty much the same.
Okay. So let's go back to we were talking about seeing it more in younger adults. Are there symptoms that younger adults need to watch out for that might signal an issue?
Well, so, unfortunately, colon cancer doesn't become symptomatic until it usually is fairly advanced.
Right.
Certainly, if you have symptoms of blood in your stools, especially in combination with unexplained weight loss, I always ask about those things. And changes in bowel habits. Now, I'm not talking about food poisoning or eating a bad taco or, anything that lasts, probably longer than 2 weeks consistently
mm-hmm.
or keeps coming back
okay.
periodically without, anything that could explain it.
Sure.
Should at least be checked out probably by, a good start would be your primary care physician.
Sure, of course. So one thing I have noticed is that some guidelines for screenings have changed over the years, and we've gotten a bit younger, it seems like. So when should someone get screened for colorectal cancer?
Well, currently, the guidelines for average-risk individuals, so meaning people that don't have a lot of family members mm-hmm. with a history of colon cancer or polyps or any direct or first-degree family members, meaning mother, or sibling, or child sometimes.
Okay.
And don't have a medical condition that increases your risk for colon cancer, like inflammatory bowel disease. So average risk starts at 45.
Okay.
Okay. And so for those that do know about a first degree family member, they should start their screening 10 years before the family member was diagnosed with colon cancer.
Okay.
Or at 45, whichever comes first.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Those are the general rules.
Interesting. So you mentioned risk. What are the most important steps people can take to reduce your risk of colorectal cancer?
Well, so I think the most effective way to decrease your risk of colorectal cancer is to get your screening done.
Sure.
So if you're hesitant about a colonoscopy and your average risk, I would urge to at least do a stool test or even a blood test because those are available too now.
Yeah.
But you would also have to, when the test comes back positive, you would have to have a
Take
colonoscopy.
Right,
so
right.
that's kind of like, you know, if you are getting screened, you have to kind of go through the process that mm-hmm. follows. Of course, if your tests continue to be negative,
okay.
you should be good. But anything is better than no screening.
Gotcha.
And then, you know, things you can do to prevent colorectal cancer. We know some things that increase your risk of cancer more than anything, which is, you know, includes smoking.
Sure.
Like overuse of alcohol, for example. So those are fairly easy things to, you know, work on.
Right.
And then, you know, diet is difficult to change. Sometimes, you know, you don't have that much access to the
sure.
the nicer, you know, whole foods.
Sure.
And you do what you can, but you know, to include nice whole foods in your diet with that are high and rich on fiber, generally are good for your gut, mm-hmm. the garden that we just talked about.
Right. Right.
And so that's one way, although, you know, we're still working on finding that immediate correlation. And then when it comes to that, you know, bacteria or toxin that you can get exposed to, I wouldn't necessarily be immediately so concerned about that, because the exposure to that would be, you know, would be at a young age to
sure.
put you at a higher risk.
Sure.
And the folks in the paper talk about, you know, getting exposed as young as in infancy and, mm-hmm. and during childbirth,
oh, wow.
birth from the mother. So
okay.
it's not necessarily something that you can actively do something about or prevent. So,
Dr. Kloss, you've been really, really great with your time. One last question for you is there a message you would like to send to our listeners right now to remember during Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month?
Yeah. So I would say cancer doesn't discriminate. So
mm-hmm.
even if you do everything right, you know, there's still a risk of getting colon cancer, and don't want to scare anyone, but just make sure you're up to date on screening.
Mm-hmm.
And it put me out of business, essentially.
trying to put you out yeah. of business. That's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
Dr. Kloss, thank you so much again. Great to have you here again. We appreciate it. Thanks for joining us and sharing this important information. If you'd like to learn more about finding a primary care provider near you, visit pardeehospital.org. Once again, that's pardeehospital.org.